Worthy are we of that? Amen. Tonight I got a message that the Lord gave me, and before I preach it, I want you to understand that this subject to me was a very difficult thing to give up in life. It was something that for years I held on to, even as a believer, even as a preacher. I'll be honest with you, I was holding on to this thing that is such a thing that's overlooked. And often, I'll be honest, if you'll not use your spiritual, don't take this literal, but your spiritual common sense, you'll overlook it as well. And what I'm talking about is music. I'm talking about the dangers of music. How many know that music carries a message tonight? Every song that's ever been written, they have lyrics. And if you read some of those lyrics and the message of the song that you're listening to, you'll quickly realize that it's not a God-honoring song. And by the way, if it's not God-honoring, who is it honoring? The devil. There's no in-between. There's no, oh, Brother Drew, you know, it's not that bad. It is that bad. I lived a long time trying to convince myself that my music was not going to affect my relationship with God. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, that's a lie. That's a lie straight out of hell. What was Lucifer when he was created? Someone tell me. That's right, he was a musician. And so if Satan was created as a musician, who, by the way, was a musician that used to honor God, and we now know that he has no dealings with honoring God, he's 100% contrary to everything that God's Word says, what do you think is going to be one of his biggest, strongest tactics to attack God's people? Music. So I want to try to help you tonight. I don't want you to get upset with me. And I'll be honest, I sat in the seat listening to the preachers preach against music, and I never got upset with them. I just didn't listen. I'll just be quite frank with you. I didn't really care too much about what they thought about my music. It was none of their business. And really and truly, it is none of my business. But you'll not answer to me. You'll answer to God. And I'm here to tell you tonight as a living example tonight of my music carried a message, and I had motives that I got out of that music. I did not have godly thoughts when I listened to that music. It took me on a trip down my old memories lane, when in reality, the Bible says when we're saved, we're created a new creature in Christ Jesus. And old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And if old things are passed away, and all things are become new, my music ought to change as well. Listen, you thinking that you are going to be who God wants you to be, but listening to fleshly, carnal music, you're wrong. You might say, well, I don't listen to that rap music. Well, that's good. I appreciate you not listening to rap music. Well, Brother Drew, I don't listen to that heavy metal either. I can't stand that stuff. I'm against that. Me too. But, Brother Drew, I don't listen to that classic rock and roll either. That's good. You ought not listen to that stuff. That stuff's not God-honoring. But what about that country music? What about that classic country music? We all like it, don't we? I do. I'm just being honest. I ain't going to lie to you. My flesh loves that stuff. But I can tell you this. I'd just as soon be singing "It Is Well With My Soul" versus "Whiskey Benton Hell Bound." Everybody all right with that? I don't want to be singing about no Thunderstruck, some AC/DC, Hell's Bells. Yeah, Satan will get you. That's part of them lyrics, by the way. That song carries a dangerous message. Better be careful. But tonight, I want to try to help you. Again, please don't think I'm up here trying to get you, because I'm not. I'm trying to help you understand that my music affected my relationship with God for a long time. And it took some serious convincing through the Word of God for me to stop listening to worldly music. It was no man that said it. I mean, yeah, I heard them say it, but like I told you, it went in one ear and out the other. But that music don't just go in one ear and out the other. See, that stuff stops right there in that brain. Amen? And it's kind of like you think your music don't carry a message. Let me just prove this to you. Go ahead and play that, Miss Crystal. You got that orange mic? Let me just show you just how quickly of a message music can carry. Go ahead and play that for us really quick. if it'll play. Now stop it. What was that? That was about 2.5 seconds of one of the most famous TV shows that's ever been. I'm not preaching against Andy Griffith. I'm trying to show you what music will do. I'm not going to play worldly music and give the devil any grounds in here. Y'all okay with that? What I'm trying to show you is music carries a message. The message of that was, I thought some of you thought about Barney Fife. Who thought about Barney right there? Who thought about Andy Griffith? And Opie. Aunt B, all of them. Hey, that's a show. You know that song. But now let's play the next one. Let me just show you. Everybody will know this one too. Now stop. What was that? How did you know that? You didn't have to listen to the whole song, did you? What it is, it's buried in your mind. Listen, I can be in the grocery store or at the school at a ball practice, and some of them kids will be playing country music, and for some reason they all love Hank Jr. I couldn't understand why I loved it at that age too when I was living for the devil. And them songs will come on, and man, I'll start mumbling the words under my breath. I'll start singing. I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing? You say, how do you even remember those words from so long ago? Because they're bound in my mind. The same reason I can stand and sing the majority of these songs without the book, just like you can, because the words have been bound in your mind for so long. But when you hear something, it takes you back to a place. Music is a stronghold. And what I'm trying to help you with tonight is this. If your music is not right, your spirit is not right. Turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. How quickly, hopefully some of you went from just listening to me to thinking about Andy Griffith. And how quickly you forgot about Andy Griffith when the Addams Family came on. How that happened so fast. I mean, you were thinking about maybe Barney and Andy chasing somebody or arguing in the police station. You don't know, and all of a sudden, da-da-da-da. Now we're thinking about the Addams Family. How does that work? Well, music is very, very powerful. And it does affect your mind. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 17, we're just going to read one verse. The Bible says this, all unrighteousness is what, church? And there is a sin not unto death. All unrighteousness is sin. The word unrighteousness means this. It's an injustice or a violation of the divine law or the plain principles or of justice and equity. It's pure wickedness. Unrighteousness may consist of a single unjust act, but generally when applied to people, it denotes an habitual course of wickedness. You say, I thought we were preaching on music. I am. Just be patient, okay? Well, I wonder what course you are on tonight. Let me just tell you this. Your music will bring you down a course. Everybody okay? You know, whenever you're alone sometimes, maybe you, like me, you'll plug in good godly music that uplifts your spirit, that uplifts God. And I'm not talking about flesh appealing music. I'm talking about music that you don't have to, that it don't have to sound like the world's music. Everybody all right with that? If it has to sound like the world for you to like it, come on now. Our Bible says, come ye out from among them and be ye. Hey, nowhere will you ever find Jesus going and drinking beers at the bar to win the drunk over. Hello? I promise you, you ain't going to find Jesus looking like a hippie jumping up and down on a stage at a rock and roll concert. He ain't going to be there. Why? Because the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. You ain't going to find Jesus dressed like a hip-hop artist, wearing Air Forces, walking around like a thug. Why? Because he's different. He don't do what the world does to win the world. He wins them because he's different. We're not going to win them by being like them. You'll end up being like them forever. You start stooping to their level on little things. Pretty soon you'll be going where they're going, doing the things they're doing. Pretty soon you'll find yourself like old Eli that we preached about this morning, caring nothing about the Word of God. Don't bend, because you will break eventually. What course are you on this morning? Maybe you're on the wrong course, or tonight, I'm sorry. Maybe you're on the wrong course tonight. 1 John 2:15 says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You say, "Preacher, you can't tell me I can't love some of these fleshly things and still love God the same." Oh, yes, I can, because the Bible says you cannot. Because you know that love that you should be pouring out to the Father and the love of Jesus that should be rolling through you and pouring out into other people, that love is going elsewhere. See, every ounce of love that you pour out to something carnal or something fleshly is another ounce of love that you cannot give back to God. Y'all with me? Hey, let me ask you this. Husbands, how would your wives like it if you only loved her 90%, but there was another lady that you loved 10%? What would she think about that? Or wives, what would your husbands think if they only got 90% of your attention and some other guy was getting 10% of your attention? Hey, we'd be jealous, wouldn't we? Well, how does God feel when we as His children only give Him a percentage of our love? He feels just about the same as you would feel as what I just described. Very upset, very jealous. See, God hates sin. Jesus Christ had to come and die and be buried and, like Brother Wilder said, raise again, because we're sinners. And it makes God jealous when we do not give back what we rightfully should give back to Him. The Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." The Bible teaches us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Hey, that's the reasonable thing to do. In other words, the least you could do is give yourself to God. Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." I say, "Preacher, what kind of music am I supposed to listen to?" Well, spiritual songs. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know what's fun? Learning scripture songs. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Amen. That's fun to sing those kind of things. "Be not overcome of evil." Some of you are like, "Can you stop singing that?" Hey, "but overcome evil with good." Ephesians chapter 5, let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. We're getting down to the music here pretty quick. Just want to try to lay some groundwork for you. I would challenge you to not make the fatal or the critical mistake that I made and live in the lie that your music does not affect you spiritually. You'll find yourself quickly not caring about the things of God because of the music you listen to. Your music's honoring somebody. And by the way, if it's not uplifting Jesus Christ, it's not honoring God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, "For ye were sometimes," what, church? "Darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit," or with the Spirit, "speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual," what? "Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Hey, That verse number 18 became real to me about 10 years ago. I heard a preacher come through by the name of Mark Rogers, and he preached on this single verse right here, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. And he explained it like this, as evident as it is, if you see someone under the influence of alcohol, you'll know it. Everybody okay with that? You'll say, oh man, that person's been drinking. That guy's been drinking. Sometimes you'll smell it on them. You can smell alcohol from a long ways away. It stinks. It's not good. Not good for you. If you're doing it, you ought to stop. But we ain't preaching on that tonight. But as evident as it is, if a drunk man off the street were to stumble in the back door right now and maybe make it down here on 2 feet without falling on his face, as evident as it would be that he is under the influence of something that is bad, of a substance that should be banned from everywhere, I think. Y'all okay with that? It should be banned. As evident as it would be that he was drunk from alcohol. Hey, that's how evident you and I should be that we are filled with the Spirit of God. That's what the verse is trying to say. Look, it's easy to point out a drunk, but hey, can people point out that you're a believer? Does your testimony, does your walk with God show that I am in subjection to the Spirit of God and I'm doing everything I can to honor Him? I'm doing everything I can to follow Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How evident is it to the world that you're a believer this morning or this evening? John 12:43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You know why we struggle with sin? Because we worry too much about what people think about us. People are going to say what people are going to say. People are going to believe what they're going to believe. But listen, you need not change your belief system because the world tells you to. The Bible teaches we ought to obey God rather than man. Every single time a king obeyed man, the nation of Israel fell. Read your Old Testament. That part is written for you. Not necessarily to you, but to show you that obeying man over God is fatal. There's always going to be men and women who are going to disagree with God's Word, who are going to disagree with you because you agree with God's Word. But listen, folks, stay true to God because He's going to stay true to you. He's going to stay true to you. 1 Corinthians 3, let's go there, chapter 6, or verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. We're getting to the music part, I promise. I'm trying to help you understand something. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 says this, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God... What does that next word say? So, here's a good example of that. You say, I got liberty in Christ. I can do whatever I want. Listen, when you go out, and let's just say you like alcohol. You drink a lot of alcohol. Look, I used to love that stuff. I used to drink it. I used to encourage other people to do it because it was fun. And it's just something I like to do. But I'm going to tell you something. Every bit of that was of the devil. Every ounce I regret. But here's what happens. I got liberty in Christ. I can do what I want. I'm forgiven. I can just live how I want to. But I can drink that alcohol and my liver could shred to pieces. Am I right or wrong? Right. Praise the Lord, bro. He's getting it. Hey, don't drink, buddy. Listen, I could put tobacco into my mouth, but right on the can it tells me it may cause what? I could put cigarettes into my lungs, which I did for years, but right on the box it says, may cause what? Hey, listen, you can't do what you want to do and expect to be okay. There's some things you can put into your life and it's going to affect you. Listen, you can put into your ears worldly music, but you're going to reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap unto the Spirit life everlasting. So when I put something in my ears, if I'm listening to, there is a fountain filled with blood. How many, what are you thinking about right now? drawn from Emmanuel's veins. We're thinking about Jesus. Or, when peace like a river attendeth my way. What do you think about? It is well with my what? But just as quickly as you're thinking about that, we could turn on, da-da-da-da. Now what are you thinking about? Adam's family. So what about when you put into your ears that old vile music that you used to, some of you still do, that old vile music that you're listening to, and it's singing about the devil. Here's some of the things that this stuff promotes. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, or I beg you, he's saying, therefore, brethren, and he's talking to saved people, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 8:8 says this, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. John 14:15 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. With all these verses that we have just read in mind, I want you to ask yourself a few simple questions tonight. And look, I'm gonna ask you to do this. Focus on you tonight. Don't focus on mom, dad, husband, wife, aunt, uncle. Focus on you tonight. What kind of music do I listen to? And what is my music promoting? What kind of message does my music carry? Can I say this? What is the music you listen to promoting? Don't fool yourself. All music carries a message. Everybody all right? All music carries a message. We can look through this hymn book and we can open up to a random page. Oh, lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. What's the next part? Up from the grave. What's this song promoting? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Am I right or wrong? That's what it's promoting. The songwriter wanted to promote that. Here's another one. How about this one right here? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. What's that promoting? Christ is the what? Solid rock on which we should be building on. We can go, I like this one. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. What's that promoting? Honor and praise to Jesus Christ. Hey, well, what about your worldly songs? And like I said, I'm not going to play them in here tonight, but you can think of some of the lyrics to some of the songs you listen to. And I'm telling you right now, if your lyrics and your message of your song is not promoting the deity of Jesus Christ and honor and praise to God, listen, it's promoting the devil. And parents, listen to me. Be careful letting your children have access to unlimited music. Pretty soon you'll find yourself with a home full of demons. You say, preacher, don't say that. I'm not here to scare you tonight. I'm here to be honest. That devil's real. And hell is hot. And let me tell you who the devil comes after first. He's not coming after dominant daddy. He's not coming after mama first. He's coming right after your children. Because if he gets your children, he'll get you. Y'all with me? I'm not here to scare you tonight. I'm here to tell you the truth that everything you do, every song you listen to carries a message. You say, preacher, it ain't none of your business what I listen to in my house. Hey, but when you can't sleep at night because you're scared to death, you'll be thinking a little bit different. Because you know what that devil does? He walks about as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may what? Devour. And as soon as he hears a worldly song come on that's promoting drugs or sensual activity or alcoholism or rebellion or you name it, hey, you know what he's going to do? He's like, hey, that sounds like my kind of music. And that's one of God's people listening to it. Hey, he knows who you are. Can I tell you this? He knows Jesus. He knows him a lot better than you do. Y'all with me? He's met him face to face. What kind of message does your music carry? All of it carries a message. For some, it may be promoting a sensual lifestyle. You know there's songs out there that promote sensual lifestyles. Some of the words that I heard a song come on yesterday at the ballpark. I'm thankful that I wasn't the only one there that realized that that song was wicked. I had heard it before, and I told one of the guys I was sitting there talking about, I said, I don't know how in the world this song is allowed to be played in a softball park full of young ladies. And immediately, whoever pushed play changed the song quickly. Thank the Lord, because it was just vile. It was wicked. And who's that promoting? The devil. But you let your daughters listen to it. And you let your sons listen to it. Or maybe it's promoting alcoholism. You know how many songs are written that talk about alcohol? How many knows a song that's written about alcohol? How many's memorized a song written about alcohol? How many sings them? Likes them? Used to ride the old dirt roads listening to them. Drinking. Been there. Say, preacher, you sure are telling on yourself today. No, I'm just doing what you're not willing to do. I'm doing it for you. I want you to understand that your music carries a message and it affects you. Maybe your music is carrying a message of drug abuse. Maybe it's carrying a message of adultery. Maybe it's carrying a message of disobedience. Maybe it's carrying a message of rebellion. Maybe it's carrying a message of suicidal thoughts. You ever heard of an author named Eminem? Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, just about every one of his songs carries every single one of these messages. How many used to listen to that? Don't lie, I did. Matter of fact, I memorized some of them. You say, you're a rapper? Heck no. I ain't no retard attempting poetry. That's what rap stands for. Y'all all right with that? That was free. No, I ain't no rapper. But I'm telling you right now, that music I used to listen to and somehow learn the lyrics to and somehow kept up with him in some of the songs. And I was pretty proud of myself, Brother Waylon. But just about every song the man wrote involved everything I just told you. Every song has a message. Every song tells a story. Is your music promoting this? Is it promoting love? Is it promoting joy? Is it promoting peace? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Hey, is your music promoting a worldly message? Or is it promoting a spiritual message? The first step of unrighteousness might just be your music. But can I tell you, friends, it don't stop there. Your music is just where it begins. It attacks your mind. Your music will lead to some things. And number one, what are some things that your music will cause you to do? Well, I'll try to get through these very quickly. I know we have a meeting coming up, but your music will lead you to disobey your parents. Kids, y'all all right? I'm talking to you for a minute. And I'm going to talk to the adults too, because it'll cause you to disobey pretty much any authority that you have in your life. You start listening to worldly, fleshly music. See, what it does is it makes you feel good. It's kind of all about me. I ain't worried about what nobody else says. It ain't none of nobody's business. Listen, you're only hurting yourself and your family if that's your spiritual look on life. I'm trying to help you from someone who's overcame the addiction of worldly music. And it took some time, Brother Travis. A lot of time. Because here's what I'd do. I'd be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and call me a hypocrite. Hey, there's room for more. That's why we're all here, right? Every single one of us in this room is a hypocrite. I hate to tell you, but ain't none of us perfect. Jesus Christ was the only man that ever walked this planet sinless. There's room for more hypocrites too. Bring them on in. Hey, I'm so glad I'm a hypocrite that found Jesus. And I'm glad He shows me just how hypocritical I really am. And I'm so glad that He didn't give up on me. I'm glad He showed me that the things I was listening to and the things that I was putting in my body were affecting me spiritually. Here's what I'd do. I'd be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But all through the week, I was on heavy equipment, driving trucks, doing stuff like that. I'd be all alone, man. I'd plug my earphones in and I'd just turn my music on. And I'd be zoned out. I wouldn't think a thing about Jesus until church rolled around Wednesday night. Not one thing. And often, here's how it would work. I was a youth pastor. I wouldn't think nothing about Jesus, and Wednesday afternoon would roll around, and I'd be panicking because I'm not ready to preach. Haven't thought about God. Haven't thought about opening my Bible, and I'd be, oh shoot, what do I do? What do I do? I spent often sitting there on my phone thinking, oh my Lord, I got to preach tonight. What am I supposed to give these kids? Hey, you say, how could you be like that? Because I had sin in my life. The same reason you do it. Because you have sin in your life. Your music affects more than what you think. It will cause you to disobey your parents. It'll cause you to stray away from authority. Hey, if you have an authority problem, I bet you got a music problem. I'd be willing to bet money on it. Number two, your music can and will promote immorality in your life. You're not going to listen to godly music and ever think about an immoral act. Y'all hear what I just said? You're not going to listen to godly music and think about an immoral act. How do God's people fall to immorality? You say, what do you mean? God's people fall? Oh yeah, God's people divorce every day. God's people commit adultery every day. God's people fornicate every day. But I guarantee you God's people are listening to worldly music too. That's telling them it's okay. That's that old devil saying, hey, do what you want. Do what you want. You got liberty in Christ. Well, but the Bible says, use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. That's what the Bible says. Am I right? That's what the Bible says. But that old devil's saying, hey, you're going to go to heaven. Do what you want. Live it up. You don't know how much longer you got. Sow them wild oats. Hey, don't you ever tell one of my kids to sow their wild oats, please. Stay away from my kids if that's your thought on life. Don't even talk to them. I mean it. I'd never tell your kids to go out and sow their wild oats. They don't. Hey, kids, you ain't got to do that. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You don't have to do that. Don't listen to the world. Oh, man, we sowed our wild oats. We done this, we done that. Hey, ask them how their life is. Ask them what they think about at night. Ask them how their family's doing. Some of them will answer like this, what family? I've lost everything. You don't have to sow your wild oats. The only thing you need to do is serve the Lord with your whole heart. Singleness of heart. Make a choice to listen to the right kind of music. It will lead to immorality in your life. Why do we have teenage pregnancies? Because these boys and girls are listening to bad stuff. Because the local church ain't getting their job done. There ain't enough preachers preaching against this stuff that I'm preaching against tonight. Because most of them preachers listening to it too. Hey folks, I'm being honest with you. I want to help you. What else can your music do? Can I say this? Your music can lead you to serious depression. You know, the Bible talks about sin being pleasurable, but for how long? A season? And pretty soon you just lay down and you turn that old sad country song on because your wife done left you again. Boyfriend broke up with you. Ran out of beer. Can't get no more. Hey, put that thing in reverse and you get everything back. Y'all ever think about that? That stuff's wicked. Why would you want to lay down and drown yourself in a sorrowful song that causes you to think bad thoughts? Who's behind that? The Bible says, try the spirits, whether they be of God. I promise you, if you're laying down and you're depressed and you're turning on worldly music, oh, it just helps me, preacher. You don't understand. Hey, you know what will help you? It's Jesus. What will help you? I dare you to turn on some good godly music and bind the devil off that thing. I dare you. That little smile will start slowly cracking back on your face. People will start wanting to be around you again. Your husband might even want to come around every now and then. Hey, husband, your wife might want to have something to do with you. You ever been around somebody depressed? They're not very fun people to be around, are they? That stuff's contagious. You get in a room full of depressed people, pretty soon you're going to be depressed with them. Hey, why don't we just realize that we have a remedy for that? Who is that? Jesus. Your music will lead to depression. Can I say this? Your music can and will, if not dealt with, lead to Satan fulfilling his plan in your life. You say, preacher, what is that? Well, the Bible tells us Satan has a threefold plan. To steal, to kill and to destroy. There's never been a man, woman, boy, or girl take their life because God told them to. Y'all hear what I said? There's never been a young teenage girl who's been told by the world and that she's ugly and that she don't fit in and that she's not as pretty as everybody else and that she's weird. And that, who's behind all that, by the way? The Bible says that God fearfully and wonderfully made that little girl, didn't it? There's never been a boy sit and that gets bullied at school and go home and put that music in his ears that tells him, hey, just end it all. Don't worry about it. That's what the devil will do. Hey, you don't like it. Just take your life. No one really loves you anyway. Hey, that's not the Spirit of God. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But old devil, he's saying, hey, buddy, you're right. No one does love you. And if you'll just go ahead and take that gun, take those pills, you don't have to worry about it no more. You know what I tell the devil? Hey, devil, I got a destination you can't get to. You can't go to heaven. I can. And I am. Tell that devil, I am fearfully and wonderfully made from my head to my toes. God made no mistakes. You don't have to live in depression. You don't have to live your life wondering why all the time. Satan's plan is to see you dead. Steal, kill, and what? And here's the fact. It don't just affect you. It don't just affect you. I've been around weeping moms and dads over their young children who take their own lives. And you think that it just affects you? You think those moms and dads don't cry themselves to sleep every night? Hello? I've been around children whose moms and dads have taken their life. And these children wonder, man, this would just be better if I just go with them. Who's behind all that? Satan is. Hey, but I promise you, you put the sound of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Sing it. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hey, you ain't thinking about Barney Fife. You ain't thinking about Andy Griffith. You ain't thinking about hurting yourself. You ain't thinking about being angry. You ain't thinking about being depressed. You're thinking about the grace of God in your life. Hey, why? Because you plugged good music in your ears. God gave us music for us to honor and worship and glorify Him, but the devil is the best con artist around. Can I say this? He can take anything meant for good and make it bad for your flesh. You might say, I don't listen to that stuff, preacher. I don't listen to stuff that promotes drinking and premarital sex and drugs. Listen, there again, if your music is not honoring God, listen, let me challenge you, for some of you who need some help in this. Take the lyrics out of your music and just play it and say, would Jesus really be honored by just the sound of this? Everybody all right? I'm going to tell you something. My wife's going to come to the piano, and I'm sure she'll have a song picked out. She's pretty good at it. A lot better than I am. But I want you to, we'll go ahead and kill that live stream, Brother Dave. You're going to sing or just play? She's going to play tonight. And I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes tonight. And I want you to listen. to what a godly sound sounds like.